You're on the Players platform, where student athletes share their experiences with name, image, and likeness. Listen in for tips and tricks so you too can leverage and monetize your NIL. Here are your hosts, Business of College Sports founder Christy Dosh and Duke University track and field and cross-country athlete Emily Cole, author of The Player's Plate.
Welcome to The Player's Platform. I am Christy Dosh, and I am joined, as always, by the lovely Emily Cole. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much, Christy. And today on the podcast, we are actually going to be having on Brevin Galloway, who plays basketball for Clemson and has done a great job building his brand, both on social media and with NIL deals. And he's actually transferred from Boston College before that and kind of had this gift year of eligibility that he didn't even realize he had to be able to have this final year now at Clemson. So super excited to get to hear more about his experience working with different brands like Publix and creating his own gear lines, even a slide line with iSlide. So super excited for the episode. And without further ado, let's get to it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Players Platform. And let's all give a huge welcome to Brevin. He is a basketball player over at Clemson, and we are just so grateful to have you on the show today.
I'm thrilled to be here, man. Excited to have a good time.
So why don't you just kind of start off, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience with name, image, and likeness so far.
Okay, so originally I'm from Anderson, South Carolina, small town. So this whole NIL thing has been a blessing to me in terms of just the spotlight and kind of image I've been able to gain from it. Obviously, the NIL deals have been lovely. I've been able to work with some great companies. I obviously have a great agency, which Emily knows about. And, you know, just moving forward, I'm excited to see what I can do in the next 6-7 months, this last season of my career.
So because you're in your final season, you've had some seasons where NIL was not a reality. And that's been interesting to talk to folks about as you got to make this transition sort of during your college years. But you also, I think, had a sort of added layer in that you are a transfer to Clemson, correct?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us a little bit about the transfer process and sort of what that looked like for you? Because with obviously transfer rules changing at the same time, NIL rules change, there's been a lot of new things happening in college sports that we didn't see before. What prompted you to transfer and how did you make that decision?
So the transfer process for me was actually last minute, and it was a crazy process. So obviously we ended our season March 8th this past year, and I thought my college career was over with. I thought I didn't have any more eligibility. But 2-3 weeks later, I saw a tweet from one of ESPN analysts saying that I won't be returning to school. So I DM'd him and I was like, I don't have any eligibility left. And he was like, according to us, you do. If you can show like medical documentation that you missed 2 seasons, it was like due to injury. So I'm like, hold on, I tore my hamstring and I tore my ACL plus a COVID year. So then that gains me another year of eligibility. So then I put my name in the transfer portal, and obviously I went to Boston College. That was way up north for me. It was a good experience, but it was just completely different for me. So I wanted to come back home and finish my year, my last year, while I'm healthy at Clemson. So I'm excited for it. And the transfer process was crazy, but it was so last minute and quick and unexpected that it was not the typical process.
How perfect that that worked out so well.
I didn't even know that was going to be your answer. Yeah. Sometimes I ask something knowing the answer, but not that one.
It's crazy because I dealt with, I tore my ACL in the COVID year.
Wow.
Meniscus last November. So like I kind of been battling with injuries. So it was a blessing in disguise that I was able to get this extra year and I'm finally healthy. So to be able to do it back home is a major blessing for me. I'm happy for it.
Well, now I have to know, because I didn't know this was going to be the answer. So what were you planning to do this year if you really hadn't had any eligibility left? Like, what were your post-graduation plans that obviously now changed because you had this extra year?
I mean, honestly, because obviously I was just, I didn't have any luck with injuries and stuff like that. So like my year, this past year, my stats and the way I ended things weren't necessarily ideal for wanting to go pro. And so I just remember like being in the hotel a couple of days after the game, and I was just like, just emotionally just upset because I'm like, dang, I have no idea what I'm about to do. And then I was just stressed. I was worried, anxious about it. And then 2 weeks later, I see that tweet. And then I'm like, hold on, I have some life. I have some. Then I get a whole nother back. And so it's just been like ever since that tweet, ever since I realized that. And then obviously I had to get cleared by the NCAA and go through that whole process. But it's been like my life has changed. It's flipped. It's did a whole 180 since then. And I've just been grateful for it. It's been crazy.
So have you like gotten to like meet the guy or get to talk to him since? Because if he had made that tweet, like you'd be in such a different spot.
And the crazy thing is I deleted my Twitter throughout the year because of all of this like negative and toxic stuff that you see about. So like it's 3 a.m. I wake up and one of the guys who like edits pictures for me, he literally sent me the link to the tweet. And he was like, do you think you could come back? So then I was like, oh my gosh, like if he didn't send me that tweet and I didn't like go to it. Like it was just crazy how everything lined up. Crazy.
Wow. So I guess what's so cool about that is obviously now with the new name, image, and likeness laws, like you can also really take advantage of this last season too. Even before, like hopefully you'll be able to have breakout season you want to do and continue basketball afterwards, but now you can maximize this whole year as well. So what are kind of some of your goals for this now gifted year that you have as far as name, image, and likeness go?
I think the biggest thing is just wanting to keep continuing to build a brand. And I really just want to build in the most positive way possible. Like I want to be known as a genuine, authentic figure, like especially of just being an athlete and kind of a social media guy. Like I don't want to be the stereotypical social media influencer that's kind of like, I don't know if that makes sense, but you kind of understand what I'm going for.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Seem like that uptight, like I'm kind of going to be casual and laid back. So I really just want to just build my name in the most positive way possible. I'm not really concerned with like the money or the fame that comes with it. That's just going to happen naturally. I kind of just want to do it in the best way possible and kind of just build my name in the most positive way.
Yeah. So you've already built, I mean, you have over 100,000 on TikTok and on Instagram, like 68, I think right now. But how have you built up your platform over this time and how, like, what recommendations would you have for younger athletes looking up to you and wanting to build up an audience like you have?
I think the biggest thing is just kind of just being true to yourself. And obviously that's a little bit easier for me to say just because I'm more outgoing and kind of like, I just love being in front of the camera. So I think the biggest thing is for some people that kind of you're seeking this kind of route, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, and it's okay to do that because it's going to end up being more beneficial for you along like down the line. The sooner you get over that fear of the camera and kind of being cringe, like once I got over that fear about, I was like, hey, it's not that bad after all. Once you start seeing the positive effects that come from it. So, I think the biggest thing I can just say is kind of just take that chance and take that leap of faith and hopefully it just all works out for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to know because my peers in the media have made a really big deal out of the fact that NIL and the transfer portal happen simultaneously. And there's this belief that everyone who transfers is transferring because they think they're going to get more name, image, and likeness deals at the next school. Did that play a factor into your decision when you were choosing Clemson?
Not at all. For me, I just wanted to have the best fit possible in terms of just for my last year. And I wanted to be comfortable and happy. Obviously, being associated with Clemson, the deal is just kind of just, I guess Clemson is like a magnet towards deals because they kind of just come in terms of just what Clemson is known for. So that's kind of just been easy. Obviously, I feel like the school you attend kind of does help you and kind of will boost your probability to get a deal. And I think that's just like everybody knows that. That's just kind of common sense. But it didn't play a part in like whether I picked Clemson or not. But at the same time, it's definitely been beneficial for me.
So on like more specific deal wise, you've done a great job of building up actual like lines and like putting out merch. So I know this is something a lot of athletes would love to learn, like how you did and how they could do it themselves. I'm pretty sure you did one with Amazon and then also did a slide drop too. So can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah. So the deal with Amazon was actually cool. Obviously Mike and Miggy were able to hook me up with those and great job plugging me in with that. So I was able to get with a custom graphic designer and make my own t-shirt.
Wow, so sick.
I did one centered around mental health just because I'm big on that. I want to just make sure that I'm sending a positive message to people, let everybody know that it's okay not to be okay, but not okay to stay that way. And then I also wanted to make sure that I wanted to like, obviously I love myself and I'm humble, but I really, really love myself and I'm proud of myself. So I'm going to get with all my pictures that I loved about myself. And so I got that designed and I was really happy with how that turned out. And then with the slide drop last year, whenever I was in Boston, I got plugged in with iSlide. It's a local company out of Boston. So I was able to go to their headquarters, go in there and meet with the the CEO, make my own custom slides and just have a good time in there. So I was able to do that as well and make some nice horror theme stuff. I love Michael Myers, Jason, and all them. So I was able to make some nice Halloween slides and my own custom slides. Those two deals were fun for me because I was able to be creative and kind of just be myself. And those are the kind of best deals.
Do you have any advice for other student athletes who are interested in creating their own merchandise? Like, is there a first step you would suggest for them?
People ask me, like, what's the first step for all this? And it's really just, you just got to get an agent like Mike. Like, I hate to say, I tell people that all the time, and it's just like, what's your first step? And I'm just like, honestly, like, Mike laid it out for me from day one in terms of, like, his plan for me and what he saw and what he visioned for me. So, like, I've just been listening to him, and he's kind of just been guiding me down the right path, and we've been successful since then. So, but for somebody that didn't have an agent, I would kind of just, it's tough for me to say just because everybody that I know that have done it, have kind of just been plugged in with either some kind of way or some kind of, they've had somebody to kind of plug them in and help them out along the way. So I wouldn't know what to do exactly if I was just starting from scratch. So
I'll also say, like, for people who can't get an agent, there are several different companies that exist that allow you to build your own merch and take a percentage of it. And there are several different ones. There's Custom Ink. There's one, I think it's called Umbrella. So there are several different ones, and that's kind of more if you're kind of bootstrapping it yourself. And I know not everyone can have an agent quite yet. So if you're in that position and you want to get gear, that can still happen too. But I want to ask also, what has been, so like two things, one, your favorite deal that you've gotten to do. And then two, the biggest lesson that you've learned working with companies and trying to build your brand over the past few years.
My favorite deal, I'm a big cookies and milk kind of guy, so I'm gonna have to say Insomnia deal. Insomnia, like I had last night, and it just, like, the fulfillment that I get from that late night, yeah. Like it's just I don't know, it's just an unmatched feeling. So I'm gonna have to say the Insomnia deal is probably my favorite, just because it's just like it's a small thing, but I love that.
Yeah,
so I'm saying Insomnia, that one, and then hold on, what was the second part of the question again?
I was just saying, like, what has been the biggest lesson that you've learned working through your companies and building your brand over the past few years?
I think the biggest thing that I learned was initially whenever the NIL deals first started. Obviously, I didn't have an agent at the time, but I was constantly DMing people and DMing companies. And obviously, I was getting responses. But at the same time, like, if you're doing it, like, if you're like, if I'm DMing the company, I'm obviously not going to get exactly what I believe that I'm worth.
Yeah.
Just because they're not reaching out to me. So I had to learn that quick and understand that, like, if I'm doing it on my behalf, they're going to think I'm like lower than what I believe I am. So they're going to treat me as that way. So I pretty much had to get over that thing. And that's why I was like, dang, I got to come up with an agent quick. And then that's how pretty much that worked. I had to learn about that stuff early, that you can't really seem too, like, thirsty or pushing. Yeah. Because,
well, if they know that you already like their product and already want to share it, then you're probably already sharing it genuinely and authentically with the people around you. So, like, why would I also pay you if you're already doing it for free?
Like, this is probably not the best approach. But
you'd be surprised, though.
Yeah. Also, I just feel like if they see that their product or their company really aligns with the brand that you've put out and the content you've put out, then it's easier for them to still, like, give you what you're worth. And it's more of, like, it's more on that note, if you don't really have any alignment and you're just, if there's, like, no connection, then they're like, I'll send you some free product, but I'm not going to pay you for anything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You mentioned before, and I had seen it, you know, kind of checking out all the different merchandise that you've done, that you created some merchandise around mental health awareness. And I remember seeing a t-shirt, I think it had the saying that probably some of us are familiar with, about how broken crayons still color. And so I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about why you decided to bring more awareness around mental health, and, like, what that t-shirt and anything else you did, what that really means to you.
So at the peak of my career, I felt like in Charleston, I felt like I had a great year planned out. And then I tore my ACL. So obviously my world crashed, and I went through a very, very dark time, dark period of dark thoughts and stuff like that. So obviously going through that time period and where I am now, I kind of wanted to share my journey in terms of my mental aspect of everything, just because obviously as an athlete, I feel like people want us to act perfect, and they want us to put on this image that we're just perfect and we can just show up every day and just be 100% and this and that. And that's not the case. And yeah, I get some backlash for it and this and that. And some people try to make fun of you and this and that. But at the same time, it's like, it's a message and it's real, because people are suicidal and that stuff is actually happening. And I want to make sure I'm spreading the message and making sure that people are aware of that kind of thing. So went through all my ACL rehab and stuff like that. I lost my dog, moved to Boston, completely moved away from my home, and like completely just my life changed. And I was obviously going through an injury as well. So then I tore my meniscus again in November, like right before the season started. And so, yeah, it was just a really, really tough time period for me. And then obviously I'm here now. So it's just really, I just wanted to relate a message and just show that even though you're going through a tough time, like even though you might be down bad, you still can be successful. You still can try to find a way to make things work as long as you just keep fighting. So that's where the whole broken crayons can still color thing come from.
That's such a powerful message. And also it's so much more stigmatized for guys to talk about like their mental health struggles and things like that when it shouldn't be. And it causes the suicide rate to be a lot higher with them and them to talk a lot less about things that are hurting them, which ends up being more painful in the end. So really appreciate you being able to speak out on that and really creating a good example for younger guys too that look up to you.
Definitely, definitely.
I think both of you do a good job of sharing challenges on social media. Like I know, Emily, you've posted recently about challenges during the cross country season, and Brevin, you've been outspoken around mental health awareness. And I think some people are afraid to share the harder stuff on social media. Like you share the highlights, you want to, you know, make life look fantastic and you want to share all the great stuff. This is a question really for both of you. Like, how has your audience reacted when you've been more vulnerable and shared the tougher parts of what you're going through?
I guess I can start. So, I guess more recently on what I just posted about my cross country season being really hard, just kind of dealing with some more issues whenever I'm racing with feeling like I'm going to pass out towards the end of the race and not being able to compete in the way that I know that I can. And it, what was weird was I was very nervous about like sharing that. And I'm even someone who shares that kind of stuff way more often than most people. And every single time it's the same, like, oh, you post it and you're like, oh, it's so vulnerable and like exposing. But then the amount of people that just responded back and like commented and were just like, we got you. Like, you're so, like, we're so proud of you. Like, you're still going out there and competing every single time. And like, it's going to come together and just know, like, we've still got your back. Like, that was so incredible and powerful to hear from the people that I care most about and the people that follow me and know that they aren't following you and supporting you because of your performances or because of this and that accomplishment that you have. They care about you as a human. And I think being more vulnerable on social media really allows you to have such a deeper connection with the people that follow you and build that bond so that when you do have successes, they can celebrate them even more with you then too.
That's pretty much how I feel about the whole thing too, because I think the best part about it is whenever you do have followers that have been following you for an amount of time, it's like for them to be able to see the journey that you've been through. So like for the people that followed me from the time that I tore my ACL to the time that like our first game tomorrow, like the messages that I've been getting from like the people that followed me from 2020 to 2022 is like, it's ridiculous the amount of support and love it is. So like, imagine like this, like whenever you share your story and whenever you just get vulnerable, people like it allows them to like, because I think people think social media figures are like up here sometimes, and I'm like, bro, we're regular people too. Like I don't understand. Just like we're way up here. So like I think whenever we show that we're vulnerable, it kind of lets them allow like, okay, they're not that special. Like they're not, and I don't want to be viewed as that. I don't want to be in public being viewed as a crazy figure, like where I'm taking pictures all the time. Now I want to just be able to walk into McDonald's, just order my food and slide. Like I don't want to be that. I don't want to be viewed as that. So I think whenever you show that you're vulnerable, you're just able to just show that you're just a regular person and people can relate to you. I feel like that's just the best thing I like about it, because now the messages that I get are genuine and there's nothing but love and support, and just like, it's a crazy feeling.
Is there more you want to do from an NIL perspective in terms of sort of shining a light on mental health issues and reaching out to people?
See, that's kind of been the trickiest thing that I've been trying to like get into, because there aren't that many. I can start something on my own, but at the same time, it's very difficult for me to put time and energy into that just because of, obviously, we're in the very beginning of our season and I can't, like, this year is big for me. So it's tough to just devote all my time into something I really want to put all my time into. But there is one company that I have talked to in the past. I've thought about doing stuff with them coming up forward, especially with the season and how much light should be on us. I think it's the perfect time to be able to make sure that I can spread the message to even a bigger audience and stuff like that. So it's definitely been in the talks. We're just trying to figure out how to work out some things and try to make sure. Because the thing about me, I like doing stuff in person, and I like having my hands on things and like being stuff and being places. So just trying to figure out the time and place to do things.
That's a great final point to talk about too, is like, how have you balanced that? You like being in person and these in-person connections. And that's something that I've struggled with, wanting to do different NIL deals or connect with different audiences, like actually being able to be in person with the younger athletes or the people for the community. So how do you kind of choose which deals are you're going to be there in person for, and like which ones you're actually going to be able to go out and do because you're already so busy and have so much going on?
It's really tough because like it really just depends on if it lines up or not. Like if I'm there, I'm gonna be there. It really doesn't matter which deal it is, just because like I think the position that I'm in, I would never take it for granted. So in terms of like which type of deal it is, like it could be Amazon or it could be just a local shop down the street. Like I'm gonna show up and show my face and be who I am. So with that being said, it really doesn't matter which type of deal it is. It just, hopefully I'm just free that day and we don't have practice or a lift or something and I can just show
up. Yeah.
I'll be there. But if we have that practice, then it's not looking good.
Yeah.
Are there any brands you haven't worked with yet that you really want to work with?
At the moment, I can honestly say no. I think I've really gotten everybody that I wanted to. Like, I've got Shop Gold. I got my jewelry. I got my own t-shirts. I think I'm straight whenever it comes to that, for now at least.
Yeah. For anybody who's not watching and is just listening, Brev's got this sick iced out necklace on that just says Brev on it. So yeah, he's got it covered. Don't worry.
Yeah. So I think I'm jewelry. So jewelry was really it. Once I got with the jewelry, I said, oh yeah, I'm straight. I'm good.
I love it. So everyone that we have here on the Players Platform, we just love to give them the opportunity at the end of the show to talk about a cause or a company that they are just really passionate about and the message behind it. So we would like to give you that opportunity now. And is there anyone or any cause in particular that you'd like to use your platform to support?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a big animal guy, love animals, cats, dogs, birds, whatever it is. So the organization that I've partnered with this year is Healing Species. It's out of Orangeburg, South Carolina. They pretty
cool.
much pretty much dogs that have had violent past, not violent past. They've been done treated. They've been treated misfairly. And so yeah. They pretty much take them into elementary schools, pretty much tell the story, like what happens to them, how they were abused, how they were treated, and pretty much show them that like you can still be a loving person, even though you've been done wrong, and kind of teach like compassion through violence. And so they use the dogs.
Wow, yeah.
So it's just, I went and met with the owner, maybe it was early July, and just fell in love with their message and what they bring to it. So I'm going to partner with them and I'm going to make some more trips down there for Thanksgiving and have a nice Thanksgiving with the dog. So I'm really, really excited for that. And that's just my I'm with, and hopefully I can spread that message about that. So I'm excited.
That's incredible.
Yeah, man, I love the dogs. Dogs, just, it's just contagious.
I also feel like it's so unique too. And what a cool message for especially the young kids, like before anything bad might happen to them, to teach them that like the animals are still kind and loving, even after having been wronged. Like what a powerful message to be able to teach through some cute dogs.
Right. Right. I thought so unique. Cause I'm like, that's really crazy. Cause that just puts it in a different perspective. Like,
yeah.
Think about like, if they came to me as a third grader, I would be like, oh my gosh, that's actually wow to think about.
Yeah,
I thought that was a unique way to kind of get the message across, and it's been working out. So she said they've been having a good bit of success. So
love that. Well, we like to end with a little round of rapid fire so people can get to know you a little bit better. So if you're game, we would love to just throw a few things at you and learn more about Brevin.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Okay, what is your major?
Ooh, my major right now is athletic leadership.
Cool. How many siblings do you have?
One.
What is your favorite class you're taking this semester?
I'm going to have to say ethics and athletic leadership. I'm only taking three classes.
That's so nice. Oh my gosh. What is your favorite TV series?
Ooh, favorite TV series? Probably Cobra Kai.
My husband likes that one. And last but not least, what is your favorite kind of music?
Favorite kind of music is definitely rap, hip hop. That's definitely the genre I'm interested in.
Favorite artist?
Lil Baby for sure.
Love it. Icon.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Brev, we appreciate you so much. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you and get to learn from you and your experiences on this episode. So thank you so much for joining us, and can't wait to have you on at some point again soon.
Definitely. I appreciate y'all.
Does NIL feel overwhelming to you too? From reaching out to brands to avoiding scams, NIL is confusing, but you're not alone. I'm Leah Clapper, a gymnast at the University of Florida, and I created an exclusive athlete community, NIL Island, to breeze your NIL stress away. NIL Island provides all the tools you need to make your wildest NIL dreams a reality. If you're not already in on the fun, join hundreds of athletes upgrading their NIL earnings at NILisland.com. See you there.